Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A striking breakthrough in the origins controversy. The implications are profound. One review says if you are an academic sort that loves science, research, and exploring religion, this is the book for you. The book, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, Theistic Determinism, Evidence and Implications, A Worldwide Proposal by David V. McCorkle. Complex, nuanced, and wholly persuasive, Dr. McCorkle has a Bachelor of Science degree from Seattle Pacific College, a Master of Science and PhD from the University of Washington, Emeritus Professor of Biology at Western Oregon University, and the author of the groundbreaking Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, Theistic Determinism, Evidence and Implications, A Worldwide Proposal. David McCorkle is our guest on This Week in America. Dr. McCorkle, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
Been looking forward to this. I mentioned this is profound, and this really is, and I'm looking forward to our conversation on the program today. First of all, let's start with the inspiration. Why did you decide to write this book, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist?
In that I grew up in a Christian family and majored in zoology in graduate school, I perceived of, was aware of the debate, and when I read Steinhardt and Turek's book, Endless Universe, I saw that there was the answer, there was the answer, and I had to write the book.
Well, and so many people are glad that you did. As I mentioned, it's receiving excellent reviews, critical praise. I tried to cover very briefly what the book is about. Tell us what the book deals with and why this book is so important.
It deals with the perspective from Genesis as it relates to the perspective of the what Steinhardt and Turek called the ekpyrotic universe that they propose. And they had apparently a lot of input along with it. And by the way, I consider them quite well qualified in that Paul Steinhardt is from Princeton University and Neil Turek is from Cambridge University. And apparently in their preparation of the book, they had input from numbers of respected individuals. So it seemed to me it was something worth paying attention to. And when I saw how it fit the Genesis account, I was amazed and decided I've got to write a book.
The book is Why the Universe Bothers to Exist. The book is written by our guest on the program, David V. McCorkle. That's M-C-C-O-R-K-L-E. David V. as in Victor McCorkle. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly and get information on Dr. McCorkle's book. You mentioned the ekpyrotic universe model that they propose. Talk about exactly what is that?
Okay, that proposes that there is another three-dimensional universe opposed to our three-dimensional universe, but separated by a very thin fourth-dimensional space, and that at intervals these two universes smash together and rebound. Exciting concept.
Boy, it really is that you delve into in the book Why the Universe Bothers to Exist. How does this fit into the biblical account?
Okay, perhaps the best way to do that is to just read a section here.
Yes, please do.
Okay, that I have. It's entitled The Origins Debate. Origins Debate Resolved. Adam and Eve became the first fully sentient humans upon their eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This in the Garden of Eden within the heaven brain of the ekpyrotic universe model. Brain comes, B-R-A-N-E, comes from the terminology that used in the in science. And the opposing universe I have labeled the heaven brain, whereas our counterpart universe is the earth brain, and we're separated by the fourth spatial division.
Yes.
Separation. Adam and Eve then ate of the tree of good and evil, this in the Garden of Eden within the heaven brain of the ekpyrotic universe model. That's my perspective. Upon their disobedience, the fall results as God warned. Their souls are banished to Homo sapiens recipients prepared by God through his control of natural process on planet Earth within the Earth brain where entropy reigns. The preparation of the earthly recipients of Adam and Eve involved the speciation of Homo sapiens from Homo rhodesiensis in Africa, and the eventual isolation of a small remnant population, likely near Pinnacle Point on Africa's south coast, here through echinid shifting and concomitant chronological modification evolution. In other words, H. sapiens is adequately prepared for this role. Adam and Eve then were the first humans to use clothing, animal skins. Therefore, after their sons marry the daughters of the remaining H. sapiens population, from which all subsequent humans derive, thus passing on mature sentience, which allows free will, but of a fallen nature. The age of Genesis of the Genesis text is well attested to by its similarities to other ancient documents, and it provides no evidence of an ancient understanding of cosmology as we now know it. How then can the meanings implied in its author's unwitting allegory, that's my terminology, be so concordant with modern science, if not by inspiration from omniscient God? The universe is created from the somethingness surviving the last collision of the two brains of the ekpyrotic model. So you can read about that in Steinhardt and Turek's Endless Universe book. This rather than from nothingness, which is non-existent. Genesis 1 holds that God created the universe from chaotic somethingness. Thus, the waters of Genesis 1 are the plasmas above and below the thin fourth spatial dimension, or firmament in the Bible, separating the earth brain from the heaven brain, which brains are three-dimensionally flat. Let there be light. The photons produced in the flat-splat collision of the brains of the ekpyrotic model are trapped in the dark plasma until they are released in brilliance as the brains expand. Thus light is separated from darkness, what the Bible says, even before the sun and stars exist.
This is so fascinating. It's the book Why the Universe Bothers to Exist by our guest on the program, David V. McCorkle. The book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. And reading that brings up even more questions into this excellent job that you've done in the book. One, how does this solve the scientific position on evolution and its implication on the biblical account?
Well, the biblical account of Garden of Eden, which I propose is in the heaven brain, which has different laws and so on. For instance, death doesn't occur there, as opposed to the earth brain, where the normal process of evolution and so on is going on. And so that kind of relates the biblical perspective and the scientific one right there.
The book is available, as I mentioned, at Amazon, all the usual places. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly to get information on Dr. McCorkle's book, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist. Who is this book designed for? I mentioned in the beginning with the reviews, and I'd like you to read one of the reviews, very complimentary here in a second. But before that, who is the book designed for? Who would find this book interesting? Because it answers a lot of questions that we've all had for most of our lives.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
I could read some statements from a review I got. Would that be of?
Yeah, please do that, because that's so important.
Charles Asher on August 11, 2015. The secularization of science over the last two centuries, coupled with the growing reliance in the theological community on grammatical hermeneutics, has damaged both ontological branches schematically. One wholly denying the mere possibility of theistic determinism, while the other fails to see the compatibility between contemporary cosmology and the evident sensus plenari found in biblical text. But Dr. David V. McCorkle, through rigorous exegesis and scientific research, has managed to heal this divide by employing astrophysics and bioepistemology to prove theistic propositions garnered from Scripture. Complex, nuanced, and wholly persuasive, Dr. McCorkle's groundbreaking treatise, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, offers a new and compelling set of theories for everything from ekpyrotics to the Book of Genesis. Why the Universe Bothers to Exist is a true monolith of revelatory exegesis that is guaranteed to captivate an audience of any philosophical persuasion. I cannot recommend this book more highly. That's Charles Asher on August 11, 2015.
It's a perfect
review of the book.
Yes, that is so complimentary and covers so many issues that that you talk about and why this book is so important. Talk about the research. As we're talking here, this had to be painstaking research that you did to come up with the book, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist. Talk about the research and how long this took for you to put this book together.
Well, the book that it's based on, Endless Universe by Steinhardt and Turek, I've already mentioned that, haven't I?
Yes.
At any rate, it came out in 2007. And my book was in 2014, so I didn't read their book until probably a couple of years before mine came out. And once I read it, then I went through all of the different concepts and so on and got input as I proceeded with writing my book. Does that answer the question?
Yes, that does. I'm just thinking of everything that went into that in putting the book together. And as you were doing the research and developing the book, Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, what did you find? What has this book meant to you in coming up with answering a lot of the questions that again, we've all had for a number of years? What has this book meant to you in your personal journey?
Oh, it resolved so much of the conflict that, to me, it's exciting. And I'm anxious that other people are related. Now, one of the problems is that people don't like to give up their perspectives that they've had for a long time.
Exactly.
So
yes.
There will be people who won't accept this. And I've had that reaction quite a bit already. But particularly college students who, as I did, encounter the different perspectives, I think they'll find it very, very interesting
at that
and
point,
useful.
Yes, at that point, you mentioned college students were sort of at that point all looking around to make sure, sort of validate what we've been taught up to that point and probably go into it with a more open mind than someone who spent decades believing this one particular principle. Why the Universe Bothers to Exist. You mentioned readers responding. What's the best way to do that, and what kind of response are you getting?
Oh, they can send messages to my webpage.
There you go.
And that is listed on the back cover of the book, my webpage, so they can send responses there, and as I have time, I'll try to reply.
That is good, and you'll find all this information. When you go to Amazon, the other places, you'll find all of the information. You get the webpage information there as well, and you can you can respond. You can send your response and possibly get a response from the author, Dr. David V. McCorkle. When you look back at this, and I know you've given a lot of thought to the presentation in the book to present it that people can understand that in a visual way as well. Color plates, I know, could have been used, and it cost extra as you're putting the book together. Are there any? If you're going to do another edition of the book, would you make any changes to Why the Universe Bothers to Exist?
Oh, I think so. The problem is, though, that I'm getting pretty old. I'm almost 87, will be this May. And so it could be that I could get a co-author to do a revision eventually.
Yes.
We'll see how that goes. And I was really sorry I couldn't use the color version of the illustrations in this first copy, but it would have doubled the cost of the book. So that was enough to have it come out in black and white. But there's a possibility it could another edition could be with colored plates.
You sound like a very young 87. That's very good. And the mind is still active out there, and you're still gaining information and asking questions and looking into ending those. Where the time is going by so quickly. I have a couple of minutes left in the program. What are some of the questions that you bring up that people would be interested in finding the answers that you've developed? What are some of the questions you take on in the book?
Oh, how the science of evolution, for instance, relates to the biblical documentation. The thing that to me is so striking is that the proposal that Steinhardt and Turek come up with in their endless universe of the ekpyrotic model, as we've described it with two universes, it fits the Genesis account so excitingly. For instance, Genesis has the statement that eventually a new heaven will be needed. Well, new earth too, but that makes sense. But new heaven, what's wrong with the one we got? But in this model, the two universes smash together and rebound and start the process over in trillion-year intervals. So when that time comes, what's going to happen to us if we have eternal life in the heaven brain? Well, that's where the New Jerusalem comes in. As it comes down out of the heaven brain, it becomes a cosmic ark where we survive until the new universes evolve or proceed into their new arrangements. So it seems like every problem is answered in the concepts we're developing. Exciting.
Well, they are exciting. I mentioned profound. That might even be an understatement in the beginning. Just to hear you talk, and it's like, wow, this is this really is information we all need and will answer a number of our questions. You also explain the likely location and physics of heaven. I've got about a minute left here. It would tease me a little bit with that. What did you find out? The location, physics of heaven. It has to be a huge place.
Yeah, the location I propose is very near to us. It's not if it's up, but it's also every other direction where we are, because it's through the fourth spatial dimension separating the two brains. According to my perspective, the conditions in the what I call the heaven brain, the opposing one, are different than those in our brain, because in the heaven brain, no death occurs, for instance. I still have problems with, I guess you have to eat. Doesn't that result in death of some kind of organism? So there's issues that still need thinking through. But at any rate, that's basically the idea.
Well, that's fascinating, and sounds like there's still material for more thought-provoking books coming up. And you're young enough, you could do another book or two here to answer some of these questions. But for people like myself who've struggled with this all of these years, and you start sometimes the more questions you ask yourself, the more you're like, I shouldn't even go there because I'm not quite sure what the answer is. Well, we've got answers now. Dr. McCorkle has them in his book. The book is called Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, Theistic Determinism, Evidence and Implications, Worldwide Proposal. David V. McCorkle, that's MCCO.
Worldview.
I'm sorry, Worldview Proposal by David V. McCorkle. That's V as in Victor, and McCorkle is MCCORKLE. The book is available at Amazon, all the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly and get all of the information there. Doctor, it's been a pleasure having him on the program. Thank you so much for sharing some time with us. Looking forward to getting the book out there, having a lot of people read it, answer a lot of their lifelong questions. A pleasure having him on the program. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
It has been a pleasure, and I loved having you here and the brief opportunity we've had to talk, but that's why he wrote the book, so you can get all the information and answer all the questions. The book is Why the Universe Bothers to Exist, theistic determinism, evidences and implications, and a worldview proposal by David V. McCorkle. Book available at Amazon. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And my thanks to GlassLink Solutions for putting us together and arranging the program today. You're listening to This Week in America, back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.